They're all about fellowship and friendship and love, which is nice. And that's what we need now. We need unity and all that. But the easiest way to explain what I do and what I believe to other people is to reach back to the old gods and beyond. It's more about nature and life and what's happening. It's not about one particular god or a couple particular gods. It's about everything that we should be doing as a human populace. As part of this earth, we should be providing anything we can to improve our own home. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to go to space, but I do want to fix my planet before we leave.
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey everyone, I'm Will, and this, like the man said, is The Skeptical Metaphysician. Today, we're going to talk about witchcraft. Yeah, you heard that right, witchcraft. Now, you may be surprised to hear that it's not exactly what you expect it to be. Well, not entirely, anyway. To help me share all the details about witchcraft, paganism, and that kind of stuff, I'm thrilled to introduce Becca Coker, solitary practicing witch, to the show. Becca, I hope I didn't just slaughter your name.
No, it's perfect.
Okay, because, you know, one of the things we talked about a lot before we started recording, but one thing we didn't talk about was how you pronounce your last name, so thanks for being gracious about that.
It was perfect. That's exactly right.
Great. Thank goodness. So, Becca, welcome to the show. Thanks for spending some time with us today. I think I'd like to kind of start the conversation by first and foremost asking you what is witchcraft in your experience?
To me, witchcraft is more of the spiritual connection I have to what's around me, and in some cases the people around me, but mostly my natural habitat, whatever that is at the time.
So I know a little bit about Wicca. Like I mentioned in the intro, I was part of a coven for a while. So as I understand it, Wicca is only one branch of paganism that practices witchcraft, and there are different types of witchcraft. Now, Wicca, I know, as you mentioned, that what you do is it's kind of being in tune with your surroundings. Wicca is very much an earth-based, and it's actually a religion, not just a bunch of people that sit around a campfire and cast spells. Is that how you understand it?
Right. It's a way of believing, a way of life.
Okay. And what are some of the tenets that set you apart from any other way of being or believing that kind of exemplifies who you are as a, and we'll talk about the fact that you're a solitary witch in a few minutes, but the fact that you practice witchcraft.
In my case, I don't really worship any particular deity. I have a connection to some, but that's not what it's about for me. It's about more my, natural habitat, the way that I live, the things that are involved in my life, and I don't know, just basically being spiritually happy.
Okay, so you mentioned not worshiping a particular deity. For the sake of those that don't know, Wicca does have a whole slew of different gods and goddesses that a particular coven would decide to be worshippers of one particular one. The one thing that they have in common is that they all have the goddess, which is the moon, and the god, which is the god of the hunt. But there's also all manner, from Greek mythology to shaman gods to all different, the whole pantheon of entities that they pick who they're going to worship to. And to your point, you don't do that. You just kind of practice the fun aspects of it without having the responsibility of having to answer to a particular deity, right?
Well, in my case, it's not necessarily that I don't answer to anyone. It's more, I would like to say I try to help everything around me. I don't worship anything, but I do my best to protect and, otherwise improve the environment around me.
How do you do that exactly? Let's get into the nitty of it. What is it that you practice? How do you practice witchcraft?
Well, I do manifestation type spells. That's most of what I do, honestly, but like protection spells, that kind of stuff. But manifestation for personal power, whatever, that's what I usually would do. And then for, the way that I worship, I guess if you really want to put a name on it, I'm more earth. So like Gaia, I try to make sure that everything around me is equally happy. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the word spells, and I think that's probably what a lot of people tie in when they think about witchcraft. They think about magic spells and things like that. Can you share with us a little bit? What is a spell specifically?
In my case, my spells are mostly a mantra of what I want, what I'm trying to do. Sometimes there's a candle, you know, sometimes it's whatever I feel I need to say. Sometimes it's just some sage and a crystal in the room, you know, making me feel better. It's not necessarily like, I guess I do sometimes sit down and do like a whole little seance type thing, but it's not a normal occurrence. You know, that's like, I got extra time. I can sit down and actually do what I want to do.
So the spells that you do are more, so I understand candles. The reason to burn a candle is because your intentions go into flame, and as the flame tapers off into the line of smoke that goes into the sky, that's kind of your intentions going with it. That kind of thing. Some people do other types of spells, but the commonality is that you try by using different methods to affect change in the world, in you, and the people around you, that kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, that's probably better said.
I can say it all day long, and unless I have someone like you that actually practices it to confirm what my suspicions are, it's just me talking to the wind. So I appreciate you confirming it. So a lot of people, when they think witchcraft, they think Wizard of Oz, right? They've got the big pointy hat and the pointy shoes, and they do incantations over a cauldron and things like that. Have you ever experienced someone talking about that with you?
Yeah, it's pretty common. Most people, they don't know what they're, you know, worried about. So they name off whatever they've seen on TV or whatever they've been around. It's kind of hard for them to know or understand if, you know, they haven't been around it.
Right.
Somebody's got it the right way.
And you are, you consider yourself pagan, right? And to level set, paganism is really the word pagan comes from the word, the old country. So it wasn't specifically that they worshipped all kinds of false idols, although they did worship their own deities, like we just mentioned earlier, but really they lived in the countryside. And when the Catholic Church, or the Christian Church, sorry, came in trying to convert those country folks, you were either Christian or you were pagan. That's basically what that entails.
Right. It's the easiest way to name what I am without having to go into details, because in my case, it's hard to name what I believe.
Mm. Well, it's great, because it reminds me of a story that I tell a lot of folks, that one day God is standing on his mountain of truth and is looking down over the world, and he's really happy with what he's doing, but he wants to take a closer look. So he kind of leans over, and as he does that, he slips a little bit, and as he slips, grabs his footing, a couple of pebbles from the mountain of truth, which he's standing on, fall down to the earth, and all the people from the world rush down, grab one of the pebbles, raise it over their head to say, "I have the truth." When in essence, they really only have a small pebble of the mountain of truth. So really, only together can there actually be the truth.
Right. You do need to listen to all sides. Learn a little bit about everybody around you. I've done studies in other religions just to learn and see what there is and what's closest to what I really believe. In this case, paganism is the closest I can get to where I really feel I should be. I feel like naturally, people, since we are part of an ecosystem, we should be doing everything in our power to make sure the ecosystem is balanced, you know? And sure. I don't think that's really a religion, other than maybe a druid, but I guess I'm not a druid.
And druidism is another pagan modality for what we're talking about here. But
exactly. That's one of many. It's just the closest I can think of what I really want to be, but I'm not quite.
Right. So you mentioned you did actually look into other modalities or other religions looking for that sweet spot that you found that you were looking for, right?
Yes, I've done a lot of studying. I read the Bible when I was really young. I read the Quran. I read the Das. I've read a whole bunch of Wiccan books. None of them are really the perfect book to read to learn about Wicca, so it's really hard to do that. You just gotta go out there and learn. But all these religions I've looked into, and there's a few others I just can't remember at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick, you know, and everybody wants to pick what everybody else is doing, so they're all, you know, as close together as possible. Me, I'm reaching for the stars, trying to find where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. It's just a long life search.
Yep. I salute you for doing that. There's a lot of people out there who are not bothering to find what really fits for them. And like you said, just kind of conforming into one spot or another. So kudos to you for that.
Well, thank you.
So that brings us to the part where I mentioned earlier that you're not part of a coven. And I have a suspicion based on your answers to this point that I know the answer to what I'm about about to ask you, but you didn't join a coven. You instead have decided to practice solitary witchcraft, right? So what motivated you to practice solitary witchcraft versus joining a group that's actually doing the kind of things that you are already talking about doing?
Well, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions, and it's very hard in my case to select a god or a deity to focus on, and most people require that, and I don't feel that that's necessary, because it's not about anyone or anything. It's about what I want in my life and what I don't.
So you get to kind of, you call your own shots, really. There's no one that you're answering to.
Yeah, I guess kind of. I mean, I use, you know, the natural moral compass, of course.
And I don't mean that in any negative sense at all. Please don't take it that way. I'm just saying you may feel too restricted by having to follow a particular coven's tenets when it's you're able to fully express yourself better by yourself.
You're right. It's very complicated to try to fit perfectly into a box, especially when you don't know why people are doing things that way. You know, I want to know why, I want to know how, and I want to know what I can do to make it better. It's all about growth.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is really perfectly stated. And we all have our path to that particular growth.
You just have to find it. That's all.
Yeah. And that's the tricky part, right? That's why shows like this one are out there, because we're all looking for a path, and what might be right for me may not be right for you, and vice versa. And I think that you have found something that works for you just in the way that you are.
Yes. My husband and I are both on separate paths. He's actually much darker side. He's a Satanist, actually. And, you know, we get along just fine, of course, but it's just not the right path for me.
Right.
But we can be different and be together. And that's fine.
Sure. And you know, it's funny because you're not the first person I've heard that from. Way back long ago when I was part of that coven, there was the daughter of a high priestess was following one particular path, and her husband at the time was practicing a completely different path. It wasn't quite as diametrically opposed as what it sounds like you and your husband are, but still different modalities.
Right. It's a very vast difference, but I can respect what he believes and he can respect what I believe. So that's all that you need, really. As long as there's a mutual respect to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is not the time to have a conversation about what Satanism is, because that's another thing that's very misunderstood, I believe, in this world. But in a large sense, a lot of people do lump witchcraft or paganism in with Satanism.
Right? It's definitely, I would say, a huge connection. But at the same time, it's really not the same thing at all. There are so many, I think the closest you can connect Satanism is probably Catholicism, due to that's where all that comes from. Even though the best part about it is it's completely the opposite of what anyone would ever think. I've listened to my husband. He's talked about it quite a bit to tell me, you know, because of course I want to know what he's interested in before, you know, wed to him. I feel like that would be very interesting to learn after the fact. I'd like to understand more about different religions. Like I said, I've studied lots of different religions, and it's very different from than what I do, but also very, very the same. We manifest together, you know?
I could have sworn I heard you compare Satanism to Catholicism. Did you really say that?
Well, it's kind of the opposite. But yes, because in Catholicism, that's where Lucifer comes from. But in Satanism, Lucifer is not at all what we portray him as. The Catholic side of the world. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you actually said we don't see him that way. So in a sense, you still kind of, you maybe still have some footing in the traditional religious sense when I hear that.
I think it's more only the moral nature of what I've been taught. And it's something that I will grow through eventually, but a name is still a name, and that's all it is.
Right, right. And as I understand Wicca, especially paganism as a whole, but specifically Wicca, I know that the way it was explained to me at first was it's white magic. It's always, in fact, one of the tenets is "and ye harm none, do what you will," right? So you are really strictly forbidden or prohibited from doing things that will hurt someone specifically, unless it's something that you're doing in self-defense. Is that how you understand it?
Right. And that's actually something that I've kept with me. One of my beliefs, I would say, one of my traits. Mm. We follow that here.
Okay. And heading back to your husband, Satanism is not about worshiping a deity that lives in the fiery pits of hell, which, by the way, to your point, there is no such entity in paganism or in Wicca, for sure. But it's really more about self-fulfillment, getting to be your best self in a darker way, I guess.
Exactly. It's kind of the way he explained it. It's more of a self-worship, which is kind of similar to what I do, but it's not quite self-worship. It's more naturistic.
So they put themselves first, whereas you might perhaps put nature or earth first. Is that right?
Well, in that case, I would probably put my children first, but yes.
Good point. Very good point. Yes. So how did you learn how to do your craft?
Really, I just went through what felt right and what doesn't. That's part of why I don't follow most spells out of, like, say, a Wiccan, you know, spell book. I've written down a couple of my own spells, but usually it's more of a potion, not really a potion, I guess, a tonic, I guess. I make kind of medicines. Like, I have a sleep, kind of like a melatonin that I make that works very well. I make a new cough syrup I found that works very well. But, you know, it's interesting because I just learn about what's around me and what I can do with it and how it can help me and how it can help, you know, other people around me.
Right. So when you say you make these things, you're talking about herbal stuff, right? Or is it kind of a piece of parchment paper with words written on it, rolled up, and that's why you get someone to prevent them from coughing or something?
Like herbal tonics, that kind of thing.
Right.
The one is like honey and Himalayan salt. It's actually melatonin, effectively. The way the honey and the salt react, it puts you to sleep. You just put it under your tongue and let it melt.
You might be hearing from me soon, because that's the hardest thing for me is sleep. Maybe because my mind's thinking about all these things so much, I have a hard time sleeping. But if you think honey and Himalayan salt work, I may try it and see how it works.
It's pretty simple, actually. I make it in a little, like a Gerber jar. You put a tablespoon or two of honey and then about a half a tablespoon of pink Himalayan salt. Mix it up really good. And then you scoop it with a mixing spoon, a real small. I have a teaspoon I use. It's like cute little cat. It's adorable. But you use a tiny spoon, put it under your tongue. It's just a tiny little bit. You could probably scoop it with your pinky and put it under your tongue, and it'll help you sleep really quickly.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Here's how you can go to sleep without having to medicate yourself heavily. This is all natural stuff, right? So it's not putting a lot of chemicals in your body or anything like that. So thanks for sharing that.
My husband uses it. He has insomnia, so it helps a lot. But you have to be able to handle the flavor mix, because it's honey and salt, which is not exactly the best mix. It's almost like a pretzel honey.
Yeah. Well, so my wife actually cooks. And one of the things she's always told me is that adding salt to a sweet makes a sweet come out. So maybe not quite like that, but something similar.
It works like that, kind of. Yeah. I do that with my watermelon. So yeah.
Yeah. I've heard about that too. I've never tried it. Sounds kind of weird to me, but I've heard it tastes great.
You know what else sounds weird? Prosciutto and melon balls. It sounds weird, but it's delicious.
I've actually had that. You're right. It is very delicious. Yeah. So some would listen to what we just talked about and say, well, that's not really paganism. That's not really witchcraft. That's herbology. What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your intentions are. And that's another thing that kind of links me to Wiccanism I use my intentions. I use my desire to make things the way I want. It's not, I mean, it's the power of the mind, really. Willpower.
Right. So it's not just the ingredients you're putting together. It's the ingredients put together with certain mental intentions that you're imbuing with the ingredients. Is that right?
Right. But that's almost the same as a lot of Wiccan spells. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing I'm missing is a piece of parchment with the intentions written on it and burning it afterwards with the sage.
Right. And also you don't have a big athame or a knife that points to the corners and calls the deities in. And I mean, you may or may not practice skyclad, but you know, there's different traditions and different ways of people doing things, but really everybody I've talked to so far, there's one thing in common, and that's all about intentions. It's all about manifestation and its power of thought, which is really interesting.
Willpower. In all reality, you can will anything to be. You don't have to do anything fancy or special. You don't have to ask permission. It's your willpower. Use it.
Right. How did you get involved? Now, we talked a lot about it. We've kind of touched on it here and there, but walk me. I know you did the research into all the different religions, and you read up a bunch of spell books and things like that, but what made you feel, yes, this, I found it. This is the right path for me.
I'm not sure how to answer that.
I ask all the hard questions.
Well, I don't know. And like I said, I've learned a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things, and everything that I've seen and done has led me to believe that the only person or thing that's really there to take care of me is me. Mm. Everything else is happenstance or luck or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I think I have trust issues. I don't trust anyone to do for me what I don't know. I don't see them doing normally. Okay. People are generally not as full of love and light as the world would like to hope.
And yet you practice love and light in your practice as part of the pagan lifestyle, right?
I do, but not quite, not in the way that you would think when it comes to Wiccan. It's more help and, yeah, love. It could just be love. I feel like if I were to show everyone in the world how much I care about the world around me, then maybe everyone else in the world might show how they care. Mm. But most of the time, things don't work out like that. So I do what I can for everything around me. And I think I learned a proverb once, you can't pour from an empty cup.
That's a great point. Great point. So you've got to be able to, some would say, find love inside you to give out to the world before you find that it comes back to you. What is it? The rule of three, right? Does it comes back to you three times?
Yeah. The threefold. Yeah. That's another thing I kind of believe. I've heard it a sevenfold before, but I don't remember where that was.
So I don't know if I'm right or not, but I believe if you betray your tools or your coven mates, you will get tragedy brought onto you sevenfold. I think that's where that might come from.
Okay.
So I was really interested in following this path. Do you have a recommendation for them? What should they do first before embarking on it?
The first thing you should ever do when trying to decide where you should be in life is read anything and everything you can get your hands on. If it pertains to something that interests you, read it, learn about it, find out what it is and if it really is what you believe. That's my biggest problem though, is I read too much. And now I honestly believe in what I can see and I make things happen for me and what's around me.
So it's interesting you say that, because the whole premise of this show is I'm looking for something that's tangible, that I can feel, I can touch, I can find, I can that is tangible proof that something's out there aside from this physical world. Some I don't know. I would challenge that the things that you do are physical, or that can be proven by you said you only believe what you see. So what have you done that makes you truly believe that what you're doing actually works or is real?
Well, like I said, when you read, you learn things. And in most cases, most of the things I've decided to make and do, all my spells, all the things that I've ever created and caused to be, I've used the information around me, reading, and will create what I need out of what I have. Now, you can take a melatonin, or you can mix a quick little bit of honey and salt. And either way, you'll get your sleep. But what makes it more powerful is you made it comfortable in life, knowing that you can do what you need to do to take care of you and your family.
So somewhat of a survivalist kind of a streak then.
Yeah, a little bit of a rebel over here.
Nothing wrong with that.
Gotta make it through life somehow.
Yeah. So is there one particular book or something that you could recommend to the audience that if they want to follow in Becca's shoes, this is the one thing you have to pick up first? Anything that helped you on your path?
Honestly, any book you can find on the herbs and things around you. Learn what you can about what exists in your environment and what you can use it for, how helpful it can be to you in your future. You'll have more respect for the earth around you if you know what good it can do you.
Okay. I hear everything that you're saying makes perfect sense, but I'm still kind of stuck on the fact that when people think about witchcraft, they think about cauldrons and spells and potions and things like that, which is not something that sounds like you do. And but yet you still call yourself a solitary witch. So would it not be better to call yourself an herbologist?
Maybe a hedge witch.
A hedge witch. Got it. Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure that you get across to the audience?
I don't think so. I think I've said everything I can think of.
Would you recommend this path to anyone? Is it something that's not, is it one person that's not good for?
I don't think there's anyone it would be bad for. I mean, if you really don't like anything around you, then maybe you probably wouldn't want to go this way. But it's more about respect for what you can and can see and what you can do to, I don't know, improve everything around you. Hmm. I don't think it's a bad route. It's just a little different than most people.
Right. And it's all about intentions and putting your energy and what you want to happen out in the world.
Right.
Okay. Have you ever tried joining a coven and it just turned you off? Or is it just, it was just never a part of your consciousness?
I had met with a coven when I was young and I saw the way they did things and did not feel that was, maybe not that it was unnecessary, but that some of the things that they did were not particularly, I don't know. There was a lot of stuff that they did that I thought was interesting, but it wasn't exactly what I would want to do. I felt that it was not needed. And in most cases, it has to do with different gods and goddesses. And as you mentioned, a lot of the deities are shared through all different religions and historical sections, like Greek mythology and Norse mythology, Celtic mythology. A lot of those, they match up. And if they don't match up, then maybe we created this one here because it was something, an issue that was going on in that area. I feel with the studies that I did originally, I learned that a lot of religions were created by the people to help improve whatever was going on in the area.
And this is the original religion, so to speak, right? This is something that predates Christianity by many, 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 many years.
Yeah. If you go all the way back and you look at every single religion, you can see that there's different deities in different timelines and in different sections of time.
Different conversation about alternate universes and timelines.
No, not alternate universes. We're not leaving. We're here. We're just looking backwards in time. If you look back, though, you think about all these different religions and what they were teaching at the time. A lot of the times it was the biggest thing that we needed to help improve whatever was going on in our lives.
Right.
Now, my favorites to point out is like the Muslim need not to eat pork. You know, at that point in time, pork was dirty and they hadn't figured out how to cook it properly. And it was making people sick and killing people. Now, there's different religions. And this last one, the most recent that I know of, is a religion called Baha'i. That religion, they're all about fellowship and friendship and love, which is nice. And that's what we need now. We need unity and all that. But sure, I feel in my heart that we need more than that. So I'm ready to move to the next whatever. But the easiest way to explain what I do and what I believe to other people is to reach back to the old gods and beyond. It's more about nature and life and what's happening. Oh. That's me. That's why I don't fit in with the Wiccans, because it's not about one particular god or a couple particular gods. It's about everything that we should be doing as a human populace. As part of this earth, we should be providing anything we can to improve our own home. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to go to space, but I do want to fix my planet before we leave.
Wonderful statement. A perfect way to end our conversation. And I'm curious whether, are you out to your friends and your family as a witch?
I am. Now, I only learned to do that because after a certain point in life, you just don't need to hide what you are anymore. It's not necessary. The only reason I ever hid was so that people would not judge me.
Right.
And now, as I've grown older, I've learned that their judgment doesn't do me any harm. It's might true. Be uncomfortable, but it don't hurt me, and I'll be fine. And now they've learned that what I've chosen to do with myself and believe is what I feel is necessary.
Right.
There was some judgment, but now they've learned, and I've learned that it's okay. We don't have to be the same.
How long ago did you come out to your friends and family?
I would say probably about 10 years ago.
It's been a good amount of time. At first, I heard that you got judgment, but things have calmed down now. Things are more accepted now.
Yeah. At this point, they're more sad that I did not choose to follow them, but I don't think that it should be necessary. I'll do what's best for me and what I can do for, you know, everything around me.
Right.
Try to make it more comfortable for everything.
Well, that makes absolute perfect sense to me. Becca, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing of your story with us and the listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking. I hope to maybe hear from you again. We'll talk more if you want. I can maybe give you one of my other recipes if you like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, at some point, we'd love to maybe get both you and your husband talking about this stuff, if there's any interest in it.
I will have to ask him. He would probably love that.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Becca. We'll definitely talk again soon.
Thank you. See you later.
And thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like more information about witchcraft or you'd like to connect with Becca, I'll leave some links in the show notes for you. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Send us a voice message on SpeakPipe. I've left a link to that in the show notes too. Yep, your voice could possibly make an appearance on a future episode. You just go to the link and record a voice message for us and we'll get it. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate you throwing us a 5-star rating if you like the show. It's one way that we can get in front of more people. And if you'd like to be on the show, please join us on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician. The link to that's also in the show notes. And send us a message through Facebook. We'd love to be able to share your story with the folks listening in on a weekly basis if you'd like. Well, that's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptical Metaphysician. Bye-bye.